This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Tishao A, Kelly Anissa, and Tina Carmelia. Let's check in on our Twitter poll. What's happening there, Kelly?
So we ask you, do you monitor your kids' online activity? So 46% of you said no, 31% of you said yes, and 23% of you said I use parental controls. Oh, okay, so to join the conversation today, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So for our second story...
So parents have been warned about the content on YouTube Kids after a cartoon uploaded on the app came with a hidden message encouraging children to take their own lives. So parents have been warned about the content on YouTube after one parent whose son watched the video pointed out that it was intentionally planted on YouTube Kids to harm children and that the perpetrator waited until parents' guards were down to strike. So it is not known who uploaded the clips yet, but the video was taken down even though it took a few days to do so. So in the now deleted video, cut with an episode of the popular kids' cartoon Splatoon, featured a clip from YouTube prankster Filthy Frank. He appeared on the screen smirking and wearing sunglasses before describing how kids can harm themselves before signing off with the words, end it.
Oh dear. So Filthy Frank, who is followed by more than 6 million subscribers, racks up millions of views with anti-PC, anti-social and anti-couth content. However, there is no suggestion he played any role in the editing of the cartoon. The National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, NSPCC, in Britain, was appalled when The Sun brought the videos to its attention and slammed YouTube and Google for failing children.
A spokesperson for the charity pointed out the very fact that these videos are still there and can be watched shows that Google and YouTube are not doing enough to safeguard kids. The video was originally uploaded on YouTube Kids, which is a channel that the platform markets as a safe space, a safe place for youngsters online.
So earlier today, we spoke to Dr. Rajini, consultant developmental pediatrician, who has a monthly show with us about how these videos impact children. Here is a clip from that interview. What were your initial thoughts when you first read the article?
Not a surprise to me, because I actually first heard about this, I think it was last year or even before, when a parent told me how she discovered her child had come across a violent Peppa Pig episode. And I think everyone knows about that, how Peppa Pig was sort of hijacked by trolls and remade and... not your typical Peppa Pig series, so she actually highlighted that to me, and she did express her concern that she felt her child was hitting more after that episode. And I think it isn't a surprise to me, because even in adult social media, you sometimes get... strange videos coming up or adverts coming up, and you think, oh gosh, you know, what if this is happening to me? I'm not surprised it's actually reaching kids. And, you know, this reaffirms my belief that really, we really need to monitor what children watch on social media.
And, you know, just how do these videos impact young kids?
Well, you know, if you're talking about preschoolers, toddlers, this is a very vulnerable age in terms of how they're learning. In that, when I say vulnerable, you know, they're like sponges. They are going to pick up a lot of what they see, hear, and what they watch around them. And essentially, from when a child learns to imitate, and that can even start before infancy, you know, they watch other people around them, and this is where they pick up behaviors. And if your child is spending a lot of time on social media or even watching cartoons and so-called educational videos, and if that is not balanced with what they see around them, you do see that children are going to pick up more from what they watch on screen than what they see in real life. And we see that with children. You know, if I give you a simple example, for example, children who watch a lot of American cartoons, but yet they come from a Mandarin-speaking family or a Malay-speaking family or a Tamil-speaking family, and, you know, their parents don't have these American accents, and yet these children pick up these accents. That tells you that they've picked it up from what they've watched. And similarly, behaviors. You will see that children often mimic behaviors that they are exposed to repeatedly. Now, if, for example, your child, say, only watches an hour of cartoon a day and has a socially rich environment where they are exposed to lots of other children, family members who play with them, and they have a lot of positive influences, you may not see some of those negative influences. A friend of mine who works overseas actually showed me something similar. Now, this isn't something new that's been going on. I think there's been a lot more hype about it, but these trolls have been putting in these videos for a while now. And so I didn't watch the one that you specifically showed me, but I have seen another one that came up again on YouTube Kids, which sort of showed a cartoon character which was trying to, you know, cut themselves. So, it is very worrying and disturbing. And, you know, experiences like this, if they go unchecked, and, you know, if later in life that child experiences something negative, who knows? These experiences may resurface or get reinforced. So that's my biggest worry.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, can young children, like toddlers, you know, like when they're 3 or 4, can they interpret these messages for what they are?
So they won't interpret it as, if you want to commit suicide, do it this way. They will see the action, and, you know, if it comes up repeatedly, or even for some children, you know, we don't know what attracts them, but, you know, certain actions attract them, and they may imitate it. So they you know, the concept of suicide is not in young children yet, you know, and unless, of course, they've been exposed to it repeatedly. But I don't think children as young as, you know, 3 and 4 really comprehend that, you know, I feel depressed, I'm going to take my life. It's just another action that they've seen on TV, or, you know, it's taken as that, and they may actually try to do it. Now, of course, if you keep sharp things lying around and they try to do it for real, that's another concern we have. We all know when they are young, their danger awareness is not there. They're still learning about danger awareness. So I would hope that, you know, parents are aware of this and don't keep sharp objects lying about. But imagine if they did, and they were just imitating it, just like they're imitating a dance or something like that. But to be honest, I would be concerned if I saw a child imitating the action of cutting, for example, mm-hmm. or taking a bat and whacking her head several times. Now, that child may think it's funny, but because what he's watched it on TV, that tells you that child doesn't understand the action that they're actually doing. I worry, though, about school-age children, and, you know, children as young as 10 and 11 are known to be cutting themselves as a cry for help. And, 2 years ago in the UK, they had a sort of a epidemic of girls cutting themselves. These are preteens and teens. Now, not all of them wanted to commit suicide, but, you know, it is disturbing when that happens. And I know for a fact that it's happening in Malaysia because, you know, of what my friends tell me and what I hear from my own children about teens and even preteens posting pictures of them cutting themselves on social media.
say that kids who have been exposed to these videos multiple times, especially young kids, you know, for like the Peppa Pig and, you know, just these violent videos, you know, and if parents were not aware of it, how can they, how can parents undo the damage?
Well, I think the first thing is to all parents, you know, please, do not leave your child who's a preschooler with a gadget unsupervised. I think that that should be a universal message. We say, we stress that so much for children who are under 18 months, but I really believe that all children, they should be supervised. I know, I don't mean you sit there and you constantly watch what they're watching. Well, you probably need to do that for a preschooler. But even for older children, you know, they should only be allowed to use it when you are around, and you need to monitor that. You need to observe behaviors of your children. If they start to exhibit odd behaviors, then you need to find out where these behaviors are coming from. And, you know, don't straight away jump and think that it's coming from preschool or other children. I can tell you the first thing you need to look at is what they're watching on screen. That's my my own personal view in this day and age, because so many children spend more time on screen than they do watching real life events. The next thing is to, you know, decide for yourself, okay, if it is coming from what they're watching on screen, how are you going to manage that? You need to control that. Now, with younger children, now remember, you know, it's about a balance of experiences. So if they're exhibiting negative behaviors, then you want to redirect those behaviors. Now, just as you would manage a child, say a child is taking a bat and hitting other people because this is what they watched on social media, why don't we redirect them and show them, hey, we can use the bat to pretend we're playing golf, or we can use the bat to beat the carpet when mommy's sunning it outside or the rug. And you know, we can redirect that, and we can teach them that, you know, it's not nice when you hit someone on the head, it's painful. But, you know, always remember that shouting no, stop it, is going to negatively reinforce that behavior. So how we approach behaviors when we've discovered that they are now part of their child's life is the same as we would with any other behavior, regardless of where they've picked it up from. But I think parents need to go back to restricting what their children watch, the number of the time that they watch it, and also, you know, ensuring that they enrich their children's life with real-life good experiences. It's a balance of both, Kelly.
Yes, that was Dr. Rajini Saranandan, consultant, development and pediatrician. So just a little background info on YouTube Kids. Mm. YouTube Kids is a video app developed by YouTube. The app provides a version of the service that is targeted at children with curated selections of content, parental control features and filtering of videos not deemed to be appropriate to the target audience.
So the objective of YouTube Kids is to make it safer and simpler for children to explore the world through online videos. You know, things like their favorite shows and music, and they can learn how to build a model volcano, make slime, all the kinds of things that interest kids. There's a range of parental controls that you can put in place, and you can also tailor the experience according to your family's needs. I personally don't even use YouTube Kids for my child, who I let him watch some YouTube videos sometimes. I'm very paranoid because I've read so much about all these weird videos that are appearing even in YouTube Kids somehow, because they disguise it in children-like content. Mm. So they slip through and they end up in you. And I've read about, you know, these weird Peppa Pig videos where the Peppa Pig is doing things that Peppa Pig should not be doing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so Dr. Rajini is right. You just have to go back to monitoring and the sight of children who are just basically flicking through and choosing their own videos. Mm. I mean, you really want to be sure that they are old enough to gauge what's right, and you want to be having that conversation with them as well. What are you watching?
Yeah, and I read that, you know, a lot of these videos, they come across these videos because when parents leave their device with kids, mm-hmm. you start with picking a very safe video to watch. Like, yes. you know, something that's kid-friendly, but because autoplay is on or the suggestions are there, yes. kids just pick and pick and pick, and then they end up with one of these, mm-hmm. you know, this type of videos. And, you know, like you said, we've read about it happening with Peppa Pig, with Elsa, and I even saw one with Mickey Mouse. Mm-hmm. Some of the content is just really sexualized. It's too sexualized for kids. Right. It's very violent. I remember reading one about cannibalism even. I do not know why these videos are out there.
Ruining my childhood, you know.
Yeah,
nostalgia there.
Yeah. So, you know, if you see something inappropriate online, you know, or something that can be dangerous for kids, even if it isn't on YouTube Kids, you know, report it or flag it immediately, because sometimes these things can be a matter of life or death for a lot of families.
Mm, yeah. You know, we'll take a look at what our Twitter poll is saying so that maybe we, from there we can gauge whether people, parents are watching what their kids are doing online.
So we asked, do you monitor your kids' online activity? And 40% of you said no, 33% of you said yes, while 27% said I use parental controls.
So most are monitoring. And with, yeah, most, I mean, if you add up, yes, and I use parental controls, they are monitoring to some extent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good to know, I guess. For those of you who are saying no, perhaps, I hope our conversation here makes you think about what your children could be exposed to.
Yeah,
that's all the time we have for the show today. You can keep the conversation going, though. Continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also go on Facebook, search for BFM, The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on BFM.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., we have Earth Matters with Juliet Jacobs. And to take us out, The Kids Aren't All Right, and a reminder by The Offspring on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.